flag, and I have a red flag. And they have some purpose. A green flag usually means it's okay. Red flag means warning or danger. I was down at the beach and they started putting up, in Galveston, they started putting up red flags. The red flags indicating there's a storm coming. It's danger. Get off the beaches. You need to get away. But you know, I began to think about it because as I got home, I had family this week that were in Destin, Florida. And Destin is the place where they've had the virus, the flesh-eating bacteria called Vibrio vulnificus, which is a flesh-eating bacteria. It gets in through a wound and you get it when you swim in the Gulf. Anyway, so they had red flags, and my nephew was and his family was not able to go into swimming because there was red flags. No one's supposed to be swimming in those waters right now. But there's other reasons there's red flags. Another reason is the red flag could mean there's sharks in the water. If I see a red flag, I don't ask, is that a shark flag, or is there an undertow problem here? I just sort of get out of the water. I will let you know that Emerald Isle this past week put double red flags up. I didn't know what a double red flag was, but I found out red flag means you're not supposed to be swimming. It's not good for you. It's dangerous. But if you want to risk your life, go ahead. Double red flags mean we're coming in and going to drag you out if you're in there. Or we're going to arrest you because double red flag means nobody's allowed to swim or be in the water. And in Emerald Isle this week, at least at some time, it was double red flags. But obviously, a green flag is the one that we like to see. When we got there, they had green flags at Galveston when I got there. A green flag is also an indication that everything's okay. And I began to think about that, and as I was listening to that same Christian station in Houston, and we were traveling back to Houston to go to to go get the airline to come, they said, they had this thing on, and they said, what we'd like for you to do is text us about something that you think is a green flag or a red flag as far as when you go out looking, and they were talking about finding someone to date or finding someone to marry. What are the red flags? What are the green? So what I want you to do right now, this might seem weird in a worship service, I want you to take out your phones, and my phone number's up here. I want you to text me and tell me, just say red, tell me something. Now the reason I do this is because this makes it private. You could just say it out loud, but some people don't want to say it out loud. And that is, text me and tell me of a red flag. Something that you know is not good, or if you saw it in a person, you would say, oh, this is not good. Or a green flag, something that you, if you see, you go, that's something I want to see in a person. I came up with one myself, green flag for green flag and red flag. Green flag, a man treats his mother with respect. That's a green flag, right? Women, that's men. A red flag, a man who is not in touch with his mother or father at all. You better watch out for that guy. That's a red flag. Anybody have one? Let's see. Here's one. Someone, red flag, someone who has anger issues. Another one is a green flag, they're gentle and they're kind. Any others? This is a part of the sermon we're getting to in a minute, so. I was listening to it, and it was interesting. The people were calling in or texting in their things that they believe are important, or as far as green and red. Here's one. Green flag. A husband who takes time to show his wife kindness. If you are looking for a husband, you want to see a man who shows kindness. A man who's too busy to show kindness, you don't want to marry that guy. Ladies. Anyone else? An unbeliever is a red flag. It's another one someone just texted. Red flag, unbeliever. We're going to talk about that in a minute because my message is Jesus, the green flag. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit with you. Green flag, he loves God above all. A red flag, not a believer. Okay, here's one more. Red flag, husband that can't talk without bad language. You don't want a man who can't talk without bad language. And another one is green flag, gentleness. Someone that's gentle. Do you realize we do that with people every day? We throw up green flags and red flags just by what they do. But also, did you know that we are people who tend to throw up red flags and green flags based on their culture, their race, their background, and sometimes their worldview or political views? For some of you, if someone says they're a Democrat, a red flag goes up or a green flag goes up. Or if they say they're a Republican, a red flag goes up or a green flag goes up. I mean, they don't have to do anything. You just throw it up. I want to talk this morning about a man who understood what Christ wanted us to do rather than throwing up red flags with everything and everybody. I want to talk about Paul. Turn with me to Philemon, chapter 1, verse 8 through 21. And we're going to read together. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I can hope could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Now, this is Paul writing Philemon about Onesimus. Onesimus has come to Philemon and has brought a letter from Paul in prison to Philemon. So this is Paul speaking to Philemon in this letter. He says, it is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you, who I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done any wrong or owes anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back. Not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. All right, the setting is this. Paul has a slave, a runaway slave, who shows up. Paul has witnessed to him, and he accepts Christ. Onesimus was either a prisoner or was working in the prison there. He says, he's now my son. Basically, he adopted him while he was in prison. And this Onesimus was obviously of a different culture, different background. They were in a different country. Everything was different. And yet he made him his son. And he sent him back to the slave owner, Philemon, to say to Philemon, now I led you to the Lord. This man I'm sending back to you is a runaway slave of yours. But I'm saying to you, he needs to be your brother now, not your slave. Because he's one in Christ with you. If he's one in Christ with me and he's one in Christ with you, then he's your son. He's a brother in Christ. We are all brothers in Christ. So Paul was trying to explain that once you become Christian, things change. To look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. Colossians 3. Verse 9 through 11. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all in all. Christ is all. He is all in all. Now, Paul understood this. Onesimus became equal with him, even though he was a runaway slave, because in Christ we become brothers together in one. There is only one thing that breaks down barriers between people in this world, and that's Jesus. He is the green flag for all of us. We throw up red flags all the time when we see somebody. And I'm going to be honest, I do it too. I see a woman in a black burqa, and all you can see is her eyes, and I get a little scared. I automatically think she's got bombs. Why do I do that? If she is, the only time I should ever throw up a red flag is when someone who claims to be a Christian and does not walk with Christ is living a lifestyle outside of Christ, then that should be a red flag to me. And I should not listen to them. I should encourage them to walk with Christ, but I should not walk with them nor listen to their instructions. But Paul was teaching us a very important lesson. Paul says, Onesimus is my son. Something has bound him to Paul, and that is his relationship with Jesus. If you would look with me in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in a love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Today, there are many people who search out the place that they will worship based on whether or not it's culturally there acceptable with them, or it's they're comfortable with the culture there. And I went to a church, this church in Texas, and it was huge. Over 3,000 worshiping there. Do you know how many people I saw from in that congregation? I saw from other nationalities. I said, I didn't see any. My wife said she saw two. I'm not saying those people said, were standing at the door saying you can't come in if you're not like us, you're cowboys from College Station. But in that community, apparently, people gravitate more to culture than they do gravitate to a church where Jesus is preached. That's my opinion. And whenever you do that, you can be in trouble. Because you're seeking cultural anonymity from certain cultures. Or you are seeking to be close to your own culture, and that's the way you can worship, because they worship like I worship. Well, I've got news for you. I like this church. I think this is a great church, and I brag on this church, and the reason I do is because we are so culturally diverse. I mean, we've got people from strange places like Mississippi and Maine and Minnesota and Oregon and Haiti and Thailand, Philippines, and even Korea. I think that is commendable to a church, because as I have watched you as a body, I have seen no discrimination, no bigotry. But that is only because of Christ, and not because we're just a good church. It's because Christ in us has made us one with everybody who comes in that door, if they are in Christ. When someone put just a few minutes ago, red flag, not a believer, green flag, a believer, that's the bottom line of the message this morning. I personally believe there is absolutely no way that you can have a close and abiding relationship with people who are not Christians. I don't know how you do it. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't be friends. At least on the surface, we should be friends. How are we going to lead them to Christ if we're not friends with people that are not Christians? How are we going to lead Muslims to the Lord if we're not friends with Muslims? How are we going to lead people from other cultures to Christ unless we are willing to speak to them? But I want you to understand, And I want you to understand this is important. We must be very careful. And the only red flag, again, is that we walk with those and let them minister to us and teach us who we know are walking with the Lord and are truly Christians. That's because, quite frankly, they drag us down. I had, several years ago, I had Sebastian. Do you remember this, Sebastian? I had you come up here and stand in a chair. Or did I have you stand on the ground? And I said, try to pull him up. You remember that? Were you in the chair or were you? Huh? You were standing up? Okay. He was standing in the chair. And I said, the other person, who do you remember who that was? Anyway, somebody was standing down there. I said, drag him up. Pull him up to where you are, Sebastian. Sebastian couldn't pull him up. I said, all right, now pull Sebastian down. And with one jerk, Sebastian came down. I have so many people, and I want to be careful that I do not offend anybody here this morning, who tell me, I'm going to make sure my children are in a diverse, as they're growing up, in a diverse setting so that they can experience everything. Your 4-year-old's ready for that. Your 7-year-old's ready for that. Your 10-year-old's ready for that. Well, why don't you just take them down to the ghetto and let them stay there till midnight, see what goes on there if you're going to let them experience everything. I think we need to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we should seek friendships for our children that are in the Lord. You say, how can we do that? They have friends that are not Christians, and that's cool. That's fine. That's wonderful. But their close friendships really should be governed by the parents. Obviously, till they get to be hardheads and teenagers, then they do their own thing. But I really think we should. Because in Christ, they're one, and they can understand and grow in unity. But outside of Christ, they're being drugged down. You cannot tell me that a child who has been going to someone's house where trash is going on in the house, and you know bad things are going on in the house, and they're being influenced for the good. There's always a downward spiral with that. I said that to say this. Paul took in Onesimus and was with him many days before he called him brother and called him one and called him his son. He tested out his faith. We need to test out each other's faith. There are a lot of people claiming to be Christians today that are not Christians. 60% of our population says they're Christians. Where are they? Where are they? Where are they? Well, in this neighborhood, in this community, and I found this out on my trip, in this neighborhood, in this community, it's not kosher to go to church. We live in an area where you're not supposed to go to church. People don't go to church. You go to church, they don't look at you bad, they just look at you strange. Or if you do things and you say, I'm a Christian, they look at you strange. Or if you pray at the table, they look at you strange. In Texas, it's just the opposite. If you don't pray at the table, something's wrong with you. If you don't go to church, they look you up. But that culture there doesn't mean there are more Christians. It might mean there are more fake Christians in those churches. I don't think there are any more. I just think it's the thing to do in Texas to go to church. Everybody does it. You should do it. In Connecticut, where my daughter went, very few people went to church. And she said, you know, the ones who went to church were very devout and committed. And I said, yep. because it's not the thing to do. If you live in a community where it's not the thing to do to go to church and follow Jesus and serve Him and read your Bible and pray and walk with Christ, and you do it anyway, then those are the devout followers of Christ. We live in that area. The red flag should just be for us as Christians, is this truly a Christian? How far do I walk with them? I need to walk with them. I need to reach them for Christ. But I don't need to walk in such a way that they have a diverse influence or a way to change me. This is a great church. This is a great people. You have come together in an unusual way, how God has put us all together. But I will say this to you. We live in a neighborhood that needs Jesus. And there should be no red flags with our witness because someone has a burqa on. Nor should there be any red flag for our witness to someone because they're from a different culture. I've had people say to me, well, you know, I'm Indian. I can witness to and talk to Indians, but I don't know how to talk to anybody else. What? Paul was not, he was a Jew of the highest class. He was a ruler in the ruling class of the Jews. Onesimus was a slave from a community and a people who were low, considered low. And the two bonded as father and son. I want you to know that you and I are here today, and we are to be a witness to the world wherever we go, no matter who they are. And there should be no red flags in our relationship with people that are Christians. And there should be no lack of communication, no red flags because people are of a different background. As we come to the time of invitation, I want to just ask you a question. Are you standing firm with Christ?
Lay down the careful not to, I was thinking, what should I text Pastor Ron in the message? My wife sitting beside me, be like, no, you should be careful of a woman who, and then I didn't text anything. So, thank you very much, Pastor, for that message. You know what I, what came to my mind, as Pastor was closing and had us think for a moment of our red flags and my personal experience is in my workplace. I find it difficult to know how or what to say to individuals that are openly homosexual. That is my personal, never been a racist. So, you know, when Pastor talked about nationalities, it's like, okay, that's not me. But in my workplace, I find myself like, what do I talk about? What do I discuss? What do I say? How do I get the conversation and what do I want to say, you know, beyond the, just the normal stuff. Hey, how was your weekend? Oh, good. How was yours? You know, how do I open the door or act normal? It's very tough, which is why it is important to have, it's important to have Christian fellowship. It's so important to me to have a group of friends that you can say your true feelings on anything and they know exactly where you're coming from because everything that you view in life is based on what Christ would view the world as. It is so nice to have people into your house and to be able to talk about any topic, whether it's a political topic, about how you spend your money and, you know, how the church should be involved. Like, if you name a subject, if Christ is in your heart, that viewpoint will come out and affect how you view the world and your priorities and your morals. To me, Pastor, that's what hit home to me is how to deal with my own red flags when I see those people and go, how do I get beyond just the, you know, and hopefully I am building, you know, somewhat of a relationship that will lead to a door in the future. But I don't know what yours is and who you encounter, but God has put us each in our own individual communities and workplaces, and the people around you are your mission field. So be careful how you speak. And what you speak about, and don't be ashamed. You know, a lot of times I find myself being like, I'll say something. You know, there was a guy who came to me and asked me just Friday. It's like, hey, can I talk to you about going to law school? Sure. And he said, what do you think about, do you know anybody doing constitutional law? And I said, okay, well, so I just talked about what made me want to go to law school. And standing up for religious liberties, and I wanted to do constitutional law, and people that, you know, and I said, and it was so weird because I had the world pulling me, wanting to hold my tongue, and I said, well, you know how, like the case of the Christian baker who doesn't want to make the gay wedding cake. And I said, that's the kind of stuff I wanted to do, and I thought, well, how's that going to be accepted, you know? But that's, it was weird to have that, to not be able to talk freely about something. It was a little weird and a little awkward, but those are the conversations that if we're a Christian, stuff happening around us, the world needs to know that our viewpoint is different than theirs. It shouldn't be the same as theirs. And if it is different, why is it different? You know, and how do we show that love and speak truth at the same time? So anyway, let's look at our ministry opportunities. And then we've got a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing to do after that. So our deacons meeting is going to be July 16th. That is this week. That is on Tuesday night. And that will be at 7 o'clock. So if you're deacon, come to that. And it says, oh, wait, did I miss? Oh, quarterly business meeting. Sorry, got moved. The quarterly business meeting was moved because the deacon meeting, okay, one follows the other. So Sunday, July 21st. We'll have the quarterly business meeting. That is 2 weeks from now, I believe. What's today? The 15th. So it's next Sunday. blah, blah. Yeah, okay. I should know. My birthday is the 28th on a Sunday, so that should have hit home, but it did not. Communion will also be next Sunday. And then the directory. All right, raise your hand if you've gotten your stuff to Don. If you've already done your stuff. Not good. Wenny? What are you? Oh, all right, good. All right, so you've got two things to get to Don if you haven't. Dear, have we? I don't even know if we have. We haven't? All right, so sorry about that. For you that raise your hands, good job getting your stuff to Don. Get him a family picture if you can. Anything we'll do, a little Facebook profile pic, whatever you got. See if you can email it to Don. I think most of you have his email. If you need it, please reach out to any one of us. We've all got Don's information that we can pass along. Which would be, I've seen Don's drawing. It's not bad. It actually might just let him draw me. That might be a good alternative. And then Vacation Bible School, I don't have Laverne or Gerda here. I texted this week because I was trying to find out the times for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, because I wanted to know the time. Does anybody know that? Pat, do you have any information? Okay. It's the evenings. Okay, perfect. So Thursday and Friday will be like traditional Vacation Bible School then, or how we've had it in the past. It'll be in the evenings, as far as you know. That's what you were told. But did Gerda tell you that? Laverne, okay, so out of a person's mouth who should know, Thursday and Friday will be the evening. I don't know. I think a plan on, if you're going to help with VBS, just block that Saturday off, because I believe there's stuff in the daytime as well for that. I don't know if you have any information on that, Pastor, but I believe block that Saturday off, and hopefully we'll have Gerda or Laverne here next Sunday who can tell us a little bit more about that. Okay, and my last announcement. Yes.
We got a birthday tomorrow. It's Don Bean.
Don Bean's birthday tomorrow. What? Yes, yes, it is. Don is going to be turning 29 again. All right.
29 again.
Yes. If you were at our house yesterday, you got to hear his actual age that he will be turning. So if you would join me in singing, Don, you know you have to stand because that is the tradition. Stand up, sir. Face your audience. All right. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Don. Happy birthday to you and many more. Woo! Woo! Well done. I had to, I didn't get him a present, but I did because it ripped my heart out to dress my daughter in a Patriots outfit yesterday. So that was something he had bought her. And. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait till she outgrows it, and we will burn it. So if you would, let's just sing a couple of verses of 305. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you need the hymn book, 305, I have decided to follow Jesus. Just stand, and we'll sing that as our close.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still you will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back,
No turning back. The world behind me.
The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. The world behind me. The cross before me. No turning back. No turning back.
Lord, whether we are Democrat, Republican, Independent, whether we are black, white, yellow, green, blue, polka dotted, God, you do not care. And Lord, neither should we. God, sometimes it is so hard to see against prejudices. I pray you would rip every one from our heart. So God, when somebody starts talking about something or comes up to us, we immediately see through the outside and into the very heart of the need, that that person needs Christ and nothing else. Nothing else should matter. Whatever they are dressed like in their economic situation, Lord, whatever they are saying, Lord, it doesn't matter, because unless they know Christ, God, nothing else is important. Unless they know Christ, they're on their way to hell. And God, it is our job and our responsibility, and you have said, God, if we would just take up our cross daily and the burden of that, God, please, Lord, if you've called us to anything, you have called us to sacrifice. Sacrifice what is comfortable and discussions that we don't even want to have, but God, that you want us to have and you need us to have, because other people are hurting and dying around us. And God, please let us see that and the need of the people around us this week. We thank you so much for these people you have given us and the love of Christ that we share with fellow believers in this congregation. And Lord, may we reach out to those who are missing today, Lord, and tell them, hey, we missed you today. Can't wait to see you back here. Look forward to seeing you back, Lord, because we miss each and every individual when they're away from us. Lord, I lift up anybody that is sick and that needs to a healing. And Lord, we just pray a special blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. You are dismissed. Hopefully we'll have the piano next week so you don't have to hear me again.